I tell you what, you came here today and you are hurting. I will tell you that you are not alone. You are not alone. There are some hurting folks that are here this morning, and that the Lord is here for them and the Lord is here for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Bible says, once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do the crowds say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others say one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you? Jesus asked. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God, the Messiah of God, the anointed one of God. And Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. And he must be killed. And on the third day, raised to life. And then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for me will save it. Amen. And he asked him a question. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and let yet lose or forfeit his very self? Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his very self? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, no one that many of us are struggling today. Lord, that many of us are in danger of losing our very self, our very soul. Lord, we struggle with the world. We struggle with the challenges that beset us. Lord, we have challenges in our home. We have challenges in our relationships. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would just come today and that you would bring an anointing. An anointing to this place. I pray, Lord, that you would bind every distraction, Lord. That we might truly hear from you, from your spirit, that you would pierce hard hearts this morning, Lord, and that you would replace them with a heart of flesh. Lord, that your healing spirit would come among us, Lord, and smooth away the ruffles of our lives. And Lord, I ask that by the power your Son, Lord, that died on the cross for each one of us to deliver us into fullness of life. We ask all that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think Lord has something special in store for us today. A couple of weeks ago, there was a big news story. It was up in Escondido. Undercover police arrested 14 people. They were working at Pounder's Sports Bar. They were working at Woody's Sports Bar. And they were working at the Escondido Sports Bar. And they were selling drugs. Who was selling drugs? Well, it was bartenders. It was bouncers. These are not pictures of people. These are pictures of people I got off the internet. These are not the ones who got arrested. But it was pictures of waiters. And people would come in and they would buy methamphetamine, they would buy cocaine, they would buy marijuana, and these employees would sell it to them. But little did they know, little did they realize that they were actually selling their drugs to undercover police. Now, had they known the true identity of those policemen, their behavior would have been a little bit different. Now, can I get a witness on that? All right, Mike, you did turn that fan off, right? All right, I got a little wind going on here. I just want to make sure they can hear me back there in the back, because everybody's going to want to hear this today. They were selling their dope to undercover police, and if they would have known they were police, they wouldn't have been selling it. They would have changed their behavior. An accurate understanding of who they were would have changed their behavior. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And an accurate understanding of who Jesus is, an accurate understanding of who Jesus is should change our behavior. Jesus asked today, who do the people say that I am? Jesus asked today, who do you think that I am? Why does he ask that? Well, there was all kinds of action that was going on. Huge crowds, multitudes coming around. And with all that action, there was a lot of error. There was a lot of commotion. And Jesus is looking for more than just action. Jesus is looking for response. And an accurate understanding of who Jesus is going to require a change in you. And is going to require a change in me. Title of today's message, Jesus Makes a Change. Are you interested? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number one, Jesus wants you to live in truth. Jesus wants you to live in truth. Once when Jesus was praying in private, disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets of long ago that's come back to life. There are many that are living in error. There are many that have less than a complete comprehension of who Jesus is. Jesus heard the hubbub. There was talk going around. They talked about, who do they say they have? John the Baptist raised from the dead. Elijah. These are the same answers that Herod got back in the beginning of this chapter in verses 7 and 8. Yeah, it's John the Baptist, Elijah, it's one of the old prophets, it's somebody. The people had expectations. What are your expectations today? What are you looking for? See, the people were looking for a resurrection. Why? Because it was prophesied. Bible says, Psalm 16:10, a messianic prophecy, a prophecy that is attributed to the Messiah, to the Christ, to Jesus. He says, you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. And so there is this expectation that something's going to happen, that somebody's going to the grave and not going to stay there. And so people say, oh, it's John the Baptist. Why? Because if John the Baptist, who was killed by Herod, came back to life, we're on track. On track to what? The Messiah is showing up. They were also looking for Elijah. Why? There was an expectation that Elijah would show up. Why? Malachi. Last two verses in the Old Testament. I charted it down to one. He says, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And so the people are saying, before this messianic thing happens, Elijah's got to show up. And so when there was hubbub going on, they would be saying, hey, it's Elijah, it's Elijah. Why? Because there was an expectation. Now, Jesus tells us about that in Matthew chapter 11. He says that in actuality, you guys are a little confused because John the Baptist was indeed Elijah coming back, preparing the way for the Messiah. And so your expectations are correct, but they were still living in error. With all that spiritual desire, with all that spiritual hunger, with all that spiritual awareness, they were still missing who Jesus was. And I have a feeling that many of you here today have a spiritual hunger, a spiritual awareness, and some spiritual wisdom, but still living in error, still living on less than what the Lord Jesus Christ would have for you. So we can get close and still miss the truth. Amen? Yeah. All right. He goes on to say, Jesus wants to know about you. He says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Where are you sitting today, disciples? Where are you sitting today, learners? And Peter gets it right. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one that we are waiting for. Why were they waiting for him? Prophecy. Again, you know, the Lord plays by the book. He tells us what's going to happen, and then he makes it happen. Can I get a witness on that? You want to play by the book today? So many of you came up, asked for prayer. Play by the book. Jesus says, you play by this book, and you will find victory in your life. And so many of us don't play by the book, and we wonder why we're living less than the fullness of life. Yes. Amen? Amen? Are you tracking with me? Come on now. All right. Maybe I get a hallelujah in Spanish. There we go. Yeah, okay. All right. Why? Prophet Isaiah, 600 years before Christ. You will recognize this. We talk about this at Christmas time all the time. He said, I'm sorry. I took that out too for means of brevity. But it talks about Emmanuel and all that stuff in verse 6. Talks about Jesus. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. King David was the one who established Israel as a mighty power in the day. He who, the coming Messiah, will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice, righteousness, and from that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And that is what the expectation was. The people were looking for a king. They were looking for the reestablishment of the kingdom of Israel. And that would mean that the Romans would be gone. Because I tell you what, it'd be like, you know, having, if the Russians invaded or whoever, Chinese invaded, had machine guns on every corner, you know, and Jesus showed up and said, get these Chinese out of here. We're tired of them taking all of our money, taking all of our stuff, telling us what we can do and what we can't do. And so the people were tired of the Romans. They said, Jesus, or Messiah is going to come and he's going to get rid of these Romans and we're not going to have to pay them anything anymore. They had expectations. They had desires. I think if Jesus came today, we'd say, could you fix our economy? I need a job. I had several people wanted a job. If Jesus came today, what would you have him fix? What's broken for you? Where's your struggle at today? They wanted him to get rid of the Romans. They had the right guy. But they had the wrong expectations. So often we want Jesus to be something that he's not. We get all worked up. And he shows up and we're disappointed. When I was a kid, Milton Bradley made a game. Kind of revolved around this truth. Mystery date. Right? How many of you girls played that? With my older cousins. With your older cousins? No, put your hand up. Just my wife and Sandra are the only... Okay, there we go, Sandra. All right, there we go. That's it? Okay, okay, all right, okay. Now, here's the deal, since none of you played it, all right? You would move around the board, right, and you get to the end, and then you open the door, and there is waiting at the door... I mean, it's such a lie, you know, but anyway, okay. Your mystery date, and you can get... You know, a winner. You're like, yes! Or you get a dud. And the whole game is the anticipation. You got these little girls, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds going, ooh, I want the surfer, ooh, I want the guy in the tuxedo. See, because there's all these different guys that you can get. And you get to the end and you open the door. And is it going to be the one you want? Is it going to be the one that you expect? Or is it going to be something different? And there's a tension. The game makes it the tension between what you want and what you really get. Amen? Amen? When it comes to Jesus, so often we want him to be something he's not. And when he shows up, we go, oh, I was hoping for someone else. They crucified him because he wasn't what they wanted. Point number two, life can be complicated. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. All right. This can be a little confusing right here. Peter says, you are the Christ of God. And he strictly warned them, do not tell this to anyone. Jesus ordered secrecy. And we start going, why? I'm a little confused by that. Now, this was not the first time. He came up, he says, Mark chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And Jesus gave the spirits, the evil spirits, the demons, he gave them strict orders. Don't tell anybody who I am. And we go, why keep it a secret? Well, let me do a little work here, okay? Number one, Jesus came for a couple of reasons. And number one was that he was going to proclaim a message. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Is that good news for you? Can I get a witness on that? And he says, he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Lord had a message to proclaim. He came as the Messiah. And if the truth of who he was became well known, that truth would get in the way of his message. And you say, how can that be? How can that be? All right. You guys know about the Padres, right? Right? Anybody know who that is? Who is it? Adrian Gonzalez. Who's that? That's Heath Bell. All right. Those are the two premier players on the Padres. They both have 1 year left. They both have 1 year left on their contracts. And all last year, Adrian would show up, because he's one of the premier first basemen in all of baseball. And there were trade talks. And everywhere he showed up, reporters would say, "So, you're going to be traded? Going to be traded? Going to be traded?" And Adrian would say, "I don't worry about that. My agent worries about that. I play baseball." Invariably, they didn't care about the game. They cared about the news about him. And so, if the understanding of who Jesus was had gone out, all he would be talking about is, "Are you the Messiah? Are you really the Messiah? What are you going to do? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And he said, wait a minute. I got a message to proclaim. A message of the kingdom of God. Of freedom for the oppressed. A recovery of sight for the blind. Of the year of the Lord's favor. And so he says to his disciples, "Okay, for today, I want you to keep this a secret." Can you understand that? He no longer wants it to be kept a secret. The time between this and the time between his crucifixion, it was important that who he was not get in the way of the message his Father sent him to proclaim. Amen? Girls, daughter, I need you to focus up here. Thank you very much. All right. Sorry about that distraction, folks. All right, life can be complicated. Jesus had a job to do. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Now, Jesus is different than expected. Do you think when they heard this message that it was good news or bad news? I mean, if I said, "Hey, I'm going to be arrested next week, and I'm going to be taken, and I'm going to be have a death sentence, and then I'll be raised to life," how many of you would be going, "Woohoo! Resurrection, Pastor Bob, let's go!" You're probably going to go, "Hey, who's going to do the food pickup?" Wait a minute, what's going on? See, we can miss. The good news in this statement, just like the disciples did. And he goes into great detail of his death, mentions the resurrection. Don't forget what? There was an expectation of resurrection. They're saying, "John the Baptist, come to life," right? Hey, we need a resurrection for these prophecies to start clicking. But the disciples were more interested in what they wanted today. And what the immediate impact, we want the Romans out of here. We want the kingdom established. And they miss the good news of the resurrection. after the resurrection. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, he is crucified, raised from the dead, appears to the disciples. And what do they ask him? When they met together, they asked him, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, no. At this time, I'm going to empower you. Well, that's not really what we're looking for, Lord. So often, Jesus delivers us stuff that we're not even interested in. He's talking about being crucified. He's talking about heading to the cross, being crucified for what? For our sins. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, second letter, chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, Jesus died to pay for our sin. And so often we'd rather just have him pay our rent. You know, that sin stuff is fine, Lord, but really, realistically today I need some rent. And it's like we open the door and we see the real Jesus and we're disappointed. Who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that? Who do you want me to be? Do you want me to be who I am? See, when you get an accurate picture of who Jesus is, it creates a disconnect in our lives. What do I mean by that? You get fired. Some of you have been fired. Get fired, it makes a disconnect in your life. Like, whoa, what am I going to do tomorrow? Every day I get up and I go to work. Now I don't have a job. I have a disconnect. Where am I going to get my pay? I'm going to get my food. There's a disconnect. Somebody close to you dies. Maybe your parent, maybe your spouse. Somebody close, and there's a disconnect. What do I do? And so many of us, we try to fight to reestablish our normal. The old normal. And you can't go back. You know, it's like here's the old situation. Here's my current situation. Here's my picture of Jesus. And we're just stretching. Wow. And we're under stress. We're being stretched because we're trying to grab our life and get back to where we were, but there's no way to get back. There's only a new normal to be established. And we live in tension. Oh, there's a disconnect. I don't like this, Lord. When you come to an understanding of who the Lord is, it'll create tension in your life. Jesus says, you can't have your old life and me. And as you're trying to grab onto both, you're going to let go of one or the other. That normal, that new normal, Jesus calls it a new life. All right, let's continue on. Jesus gives us a path to that new life. Many of you are not going to like this part. Many of you are going to say, I did not sign up for this, because it is the path of self-denial. He said to them all, he said, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be raised, and if anybody's going to come, it's like, well, I really don't like that pathway, Lord. The whole death, resurrection thing does not interest me in the least. There are a lot of people that say no to the path of the Lord. Because it is a path of self-denial. Now, some of you are in struggles today because you're not willing to take this path. It stands before you and you're struggling. Whoa, no way. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. And many of us are really not looking for the path of self-denial. It is not popular in our culture. Think about the TV ads that you saw this week. How many of them were talking about self-denial? Geico. Save money. You can have more for you. Right? I don't know what this is. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you can drink Corona and you can just sit on a beach chair and just look out at the water. You can have all that your heart desires. My son likes this stuff. Acts. Smell good. Get that stuff. Revital. Is that how you say that, ladies? Revital? Anti-aging treatment. See, you can have more money, you can have all you want, you can smell good, and you could look good. That's what our culture is looking for. And they're not looking for a path of self-denial. Jesus often brings a message that we are not looking for. He says, pick up your cross. Well, what is the cross? Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Cursed was Jesus because he hung on a cross for you. And he's saying, if you want to follow me, you got to be prepared to grab a cross. And some of you are in situations right now because you will not die to the situation that you are in. You will not release your past and move on to a new future because you do not understand what awaits you. And I'll let you know that you can trust the Lord, that he will not guide you into a trap, that he will not leave you or forsake you, but he will take you to a place that is secure. So many of you are just living in tension. Ah! Where is your tension? Where is your cross? Is it your job? Is it in your home? Is it in your relationships? Maybe one relationship is causing you pain. Lord would have you overcome that challenge. Move into a new future. Not break that relationship. Trust God to heal it. Amen? Amen. Jesus asked us to refocus our lives upon him and upon the gospel. And if you do that, most of the issues in your life are going to be found to be a whole lot smaller, because God will put you into some situations that are big, big, big. Amen? Amen. All right. Jesus makes it clear. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Now, Jesus is talking about the real you here. Talking about self. Talking about where you think. Where you live. He's talking about the part of you that makes choices. That little voice inside your head. Right now saying, no way, getting out of this church. Or maybe saying, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to find fullness in Christ. That's where my struggle has been. That inner core of you, that's what Jesus wants you to surrender. Amen. No, I'm very protective of me. We are all very protective of us. Oh, it's scary to me. Jesus says, if you surrender yourself, you'll be saved. And that's a scary thing. Jesus says you can work so hard, you can even find success, and in the end, you can lose. You can become consumed with wealth. You can become consumed with the now. I got to have what I want. I got to have it now. I got to feel good. I got to look good. You can even be winning at that. Jesus says you can go so far as to get all the wealth in the whole planet. Everything you're shooting for, and in the end, lose your soul. Carnival cruise ship Splendor. You know, my sister-in-law goes on cruises often. Lisa goes, oh, I wish we could go on a cruise. It has no enticement for me whatsoever. You know, realistically, I have a better time doing the Lord's work right here. This is better than any cruise, folks. Splendor had a bit of a problem last week. You might have heard about it. Had a fire in the engine room. No engine. No power. Now, you notice there's all them little windows on the side. Or there's a whole lot more rooms on the inside. Don't got no windows. And they have no electricity. Pitch black. 3,000 passengers. No toilets. Oh, my. Oh, my. These people walked on that boat. Woo-hoo. This is all I'm shooting for. Endless buffets. Somebody to wait on me hand and foot. Shows, entertainment, gambling, drinking. This is the good life. And it turned into a nightmare. Jesus is saying, some of you are headed for a nightmare. He says, you're heading for a nightmare because you don't understand who I am. An accurate understanding of who Jesus is will make a change in you. Amen? Amen. If I am going to follow Jesus, I'm going to have to let go of my old self. It says, if you're going to save that self, you can't pursue me. And you'll be in tension your whole life. I want to serve Jesus, but I can't let go. And realistically, you are saying right now in that inner self, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what I got going on in my life. I cannot let go. I've got too much value back here. I just cannot turn my back on my past. But I know who Jesus is, and I got this incredible tension in my life. There's no way I can let go. Those bartenders, those bouncers, and those waiters, do you know how fast they would have let go of that dope if somebody said, that's an undercover cop. Before they knew it's undercover, that's value. Oh, there's value there. I'm not letting go of my dope. That's my cash. That's my everything. Undercover cops, whoa, bye, see ya. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get an accurate understanding of what's going on, those people could get an accurate understanding and realize, whoa, I'm in danger. And Jesus says, as soon as you get an accurate understanding of who I am, you will cast off your old life. When you get an accurate understanding of who Jesus is, there is a change that will be manifest in you. There has to be.
Amen.
Or you'll lose your very soul. Lisa's going to come up and play, but I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, Lord, there are folks that are here today, came in stressed by life, stressed by the issues of life, stressed by the hardness of their hearts, Lord, stressed by smallness in their self, Lord, just issues that are too big for them but are not too big for you. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you would reveal yourself to them in a mighty way, Lord, as you have this whole service, Lord, that you are indeed, as you are high and lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, Lord. And I pray right now, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you are speaking to those folks that are here today that are in turmoil, that are in stress, that are in tension, Lord, and they're holding on to the old, and they're holding on to you, Lord, and they feel like their arm's going to rip off, and I feel like right now, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts and say, here I am, child.